Welcome back to ILTA Voices, your home for all things ILTA.
Hello there. This is James McGregor. I'm the founder of Ethical eDiscovery, a boutique eDiscovery consultancy firm. And I'm also the chair of ILTA's European Litigation Special Interest Group. And I'm going to be today's moderator for the discussion that we're going to have on the comparison between working in eDiscovery at a law firm versus a service provider. During this discussion, we're going to cover a few different questions, and those include: what qualities does the perfect eDiscovery consultant possess, and how can these skills be developed? How does the law firm environment differ from the service provider one? And are there other factors to consider when choosing between the two employers, such as compensation, work-life balance, interesting and varied work, etc.? So I'm going to ask each of the panelists to introduce themselves and then pass along. And we'll start with Rachel, and because it was Rachel's idea to have this discussion in the first place. So Rachel, over to you.
Great, thanks, James. Hi, everyone. My name is Rachel McAdams, and I currently work for an eDiscovery consultancy called Sky Discovery in the UK. But prior to moving into this consultancy role, I actually worked at two law firms, one large international firm and a domestic firm in Ireland. So I've had a good bit of exposure to both the law firm environment and the consultancy side of things. Jakub, do you want to introduce yourself next?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Rachel. So I'm Jakub Kur. Right now, I'm the head of forensic technology at Bird & Bird, which is the global law firm. And our forensic department is actually responsible also for the e-discovery practice around the network. So we are supporting all of the offices of the Bird & Bird around the world. And prior to that, I was working for 8 years at PwC in forensic department and was responsible for e-discovery and forensic data analytics. Tom?
Hi, I'm Tom Quinn. I work at the eDiscovery team at Simmons & Simmons. I lead that team. I joined about 18 months ago. Prior to that, I worked in consulting for the entirety of my career, about 16 years at FTI Consulting, where I led the eDiscovery practice there. And I also worked at a small startup called Digital Risk Experts. And yeah, excited to be here today. And the next person will be Dina. If you could go next, please.
Hi, everyone. So I have over 20 years of varied legal experience. I was admitted to the California Bar in 1999. I'm currently still a member of the Washington, D.C. Bar. I'm admitted to the role of solicitors in England and Wales and in Northern Ireland. My journey with eDiscovery pretty much started in 2004 when I moved to Washington, D.C. and started as a contract attorney doing document review. Since then, I've worked at a number of different top global law firms and a number of different top service providers in eDiscovery. So my experience is pretty well-rounded. I've also worked for in-house for a bank. I currently live in Belfast and work for A&L Goodbody in Dublin as the eDiscovery Technology Manager within ALG Solutions. My team pretty much handles all of the eDiscovery and investigations that the firm gets, and anything else that may have to do with relativity, because we do try to use relativity in other situations, not just with eDiscovery.
Great. Thanks, Dina. Thanks, all. So, let's jump in and just start with the first question. So, Tom, I'm going to start with you. What qualities does the perfect eDiscovery consultant possess, and how can these skills be developed?
Okay, so there's a few things here. As part of my old role, part of my responsibility was leading the recruitment team. So I do love this question. So I led the recruitment efforts. So what I generally look for, the perfect eDiscovery consultant, if there is a thing, would have very strong communication skills for obvious reasons. Attention to detail is obviously a must in our line of work. An ability to, a real desire to problem solve and just enjoys figuring things out. That's a really, really amazing quality to have. An interest in the topic. I think sometimes when I interview people, you'll ask them a simple question. They'll say, "Oh, I love relativity. I love Nuix." And say, "Oh, what are you excited about in terms of the roadmap?" And they'll go, "Oh, and they'll give you something from 2 years ago or something like that. So it's really important to have that interest in the topic. Seeing as we're talking about perfect, an ability to think commercially is really important at a legal at a law firm or as a consultant. That's a real skill and really helps you later on down the line. Asking questions, having and trying to understand why someone wants something. None of us want to just do task A and you just do task A. You want someone to understand why you're doing task A. And that's a little bit that comes from the consultant as well as from the legal team that you're working with. But you need to have that, you have that willingness to understand and ask questions. And then the last one that I would think of would be just to be a team player. You want someone who will work well with others, but also wants to make sure that they're looking after their team members, that are getting, you're getting that balance. So that someone's utilization is 120, 130, 30%. That's no use. What you want to do is make sure that that's balanced across the team to make sure that you're not, I suppose, killing one member of the team. So that's but that balance is really important. Those are kind of my initial thoughts. And how do you develop them? Some are innate, I would say. But I think some of them can be learned by actually just talking about it and sharing your experiences. So all of them are different. It's about exposing people to projects that are challenging, interesting, tasks that help enhance communication skills, but also highlighting the importance of these, because sometimes people don't necessarily know. It seems obvious to us, but that's because we've been working in this industry for a long time. But it's useful. A lot of it's obvious, but some of it is worthwhile highlighting. But that's my, those are my thoughts. Does anyone else have anything to kind of jump in with or add?
Dina, why don't you go first?
Yeah, all right, thanks. I was just going to say, I'd probably add just also being able to think about who you're doing all of this e-discovery for, so either your internal or your external client or like the end client, because, you know, a lot of times they don't really think about the technology. What's important to them is their end goal. And if we are aware of their end goal and we think about what we're doing in that way, then we can probably provide a better service to the clients. And also maybe having, and we would also have a little bit more empathy when they suddenly change things or change their deadlines or ask for, you know, what sounds impossible, but you eventually do it anyway. So I think empathy and just understanding your client is really important.
Rachel, assuming that Dina hasn't just said what you were about to say, what would you like to add?
The curiosity. I think that actually drives a lot of the qualities that Tom and Dina have already talked about, you know, about the willingness to learn and to be on the cutting edge and to understand what the end goal is. Being curious and asking questions is really important because that's how you know what it is that you need to learn or know what it is that you're aiming for. I also think calmness under pressure is also a really good quality to have. You know, this isn't always a 9-to-5, you know, easy industry to work in. There are tight deadlines, tight turnaround times. And often, if your e-discovery consultant is panicking, that will make the legal teams panic, even if there isn't really any need to. So I think calmness under pressure and being able to keep other people calm is also something that's very useful to have.
Jakob, anything further from you before I move on?
Yeah, I would just like to mention about, you know, the attitude and openness to learn. I mean, of course, you need to have the knowledge about the technology, being tech-savvy, curious person. But at the same time, the knowledge with the current technology is like outdated so fast. So you need to keep track on that to being a good partner to, you know, for discussing the issues with lawyers and also with the end clients, etc. So if you're open on that and also open on any other alternatives that may happen during the projects, I think this is also the good starting point here.
Great. Okay, so now that we've identified all the qualities necessary in order to make the perfect e-discovery professional, Dina, what are your thoughts around the law firm environment versus the service provider one, how those differ and how they may shape some of those skills?
So before I answer that, I'd say keep in mind that your experience at law firms will differ depending on the size and whether they're global or domestic only? And the same with service providers. You know, is this a big service provider or is it a small one where there are only two people on your team? But I'd say in general, service providers tend to be bigger. They tend to have bigger e-discovery teams, and law firms tend to have smaller e-discovery teams. So I think with law firms, I think you're the type of experience you get exposure to the different aspects of the EDRM, probably more so than if you were at a bigger service provider, because a lot of times your big service providers will have different teams for each sort of step of the process. So they'd have a processing team, an operations team, or a hosting team. You'd have your client services, your analytics. So if you're in one, you don't necessarily do what the other teams do. You might have an understanding of what they do, but not necessarily actually do the work. Whereas with a law firm, you're generally a smaller team. And especially if you have your own instance, you're probably doing everything from processing to QCing the documents in the workspace, to cert, you know, building STRs, your coding forms, setting up batches, et cetera. So I think what you learn will be different, but this also depends on your own experience when your role within those teams. I also think sometimes it's probably easier to end up managing a team in a law firm, because again, they're smaller and there's, you know, you can manage a smaller team. Whereas with service providers, you know, the bigger your service providers are, the harder it is to sort of get to that level where you're now managing a team, because your teams are a lot bigger. So they look for more experience. I also think with law firms, when, you know, you're a little bit closer to the case, you're a little bit closer to what's going on. So you probably get a little bit more understanding of what's happening, because your internal clients are your associates. So they know what's happening. So they're giving you a little bit more information. So as far as relationship building, that's probably a better part of being at a law firm. Whereas I think with a service provider, you're a little bit distanced from that. I think I've said a lot, so maybe I'll let
Fair
some
enough.
Of the other guys chip
of course.
In.
Rachel, why don't I come to you next in terms of the environment of a law firm versus a service provider?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I first moved into a law firm, I came from the Big Four, moved into a big international law firm, and it was the biggest learning curve that I've ever had, because immediately I was in the working with all these legal teams, in the middle of the legal teams, trying to understand the context of what I was doing in the terms of the bigger case. And depending whether it was litigation or an investigation or an employment tribunal, I was really having to work very hard to understand how to adapt the e-discovery process to match all those different needs in those different kinds of cases, and what to suggest in terms of strategy or in terms of, you know, getting the legal team to the information and the outcomes they need as quickly as possible. So I ended up with learning a lot more about the context of what I was doing, learning a lot more about all the legal machinations that are going on behind the scenes that you don't really see when you're in a service provider and you're just getting requests pinging into your mailbox. And I found that has been immensely valuable for everything else that I've done since then. You know, the first 6 months were, as I said, the biggest learning curve ever, but it's really informed everything that I've done since then. The other big change that I found was in service provider, it was very rare to come across a problem that someone else hadn't already found and solved. So you'd have a weird little problem with something and someone else on the team would say, oh yeah, you know, we had that last year. There's a script or there's a little tool that we found or created, saved it onto the network, and, you know, you're like, okay, problem solved. In a law firm, you hit that problem, you've really got, or I found I had much fewer resources to deal with that. And that's sort of how you learn problem solving. You know, you get put into that position where you have to find a way to make it work with really limited resources. And that sort of attitude of, I've got to find something. Here's the tools that I have, which are very limited. I might not have anyone else to ask. I've got to find a way. And that was another, you know, really big learning experience for me, just trying to navigate through all these problems and find ways to solve them. And I think in a law firm, you just, because as Dina mentioned, you have a smaller team. It's not that you have less expertise, but you have less bandwidth to deal with things like that as well. And probably, you know, you don't have a software developer or someone who's really good at scripting who has the time to help you out with those kinds of things. So those are my two big takeaways from the two different environments.
Jakub, you're obviously within a small team within a law firm at the moment, and obviously you have the experience of a much larger service provider before that. How does what Rachel's describing gel with your own experience?
Yeah, it's I do agree. I mean, it's very similar. I have only one more experience in terms of the bigger service provider because when I was working in the Netherlands, we had really like the big team with, you know, workflows, procedures, etc. And this was very similar to what Rachel experienced in the service provider, the first one as well. But when I was working in Warsaw, we had like, you know, shortage of people. The market there for a discovery is not so structured. It's rather developing. It's mostly related to internal investigations. So we had to come up with, you know, a lot of ideas, doing different stuff, you know, the whole EDRM, etc. So it actually helped me to transfer from there to the law firm because it's very similar right now. I mean, in terms of the work that we are doing, the only difference here is also something that Rachel mentioned, is the direct relationships that we've got with the lawyers. With the partners, with the associates that are running the case. We are not the service provider. We are, you know, like the partners, you know, we are their colleagues. So, you know, we can just talk offline how to deal best with some of the issues. We are working on a lot of smaller cases from day zero, actually. So it differs a lot because we are also not fighting for the fee. And you know, with them, we really try to build on that. So I would say that this is the main difference. So the direct contact with the person that's leading the investigation or the response to the regulator is the main difference between being inside a law firm, from my experience, and to being on a service provider side.
Tom, obviously, many years of your career spent at a large service provider and then another boutique firm, and then you've recently made the entrance into the law firm space. Do you feel that you're now working with colleagues and people that are perhaps more accessible than you did in the past?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you're building a relationship over a longer period of time when you're a consultant. But what I've found is, now that I'm in-house, it's nearly I've got the trusted advisor relationship trusted advisor relationship from day one, and which means I'm getting more information about the strategy, more information about what they're thinking. So there's less of a filter in some ways, which is great because it means we can solve the problems quicker, and there's less back and forth over email because someone will be at my desk just there, or they'll call me on Teams, and look, it's just so much better. And that sounds daunting, and that was one of my concerns when I moved, that I might just have someone like there would be zero filter and people would just be at my desk and I'd have zero time. But actually the balance has been about right, and balance is the other thing. Work life balance has been a lot more straightforward, if I'm honest, at a law firm, more flexible. I think also the expectation for travel is different just by the very nature of the work that I would have been doing at my previous role. There was an expectation that for some projects you might be on site for weeks or months at a time. And that's great fun when you start your career. And I would highly recommend it. It's great fun. But then as you progress in your career and different priorities, that's maybe not what you're looking for.
Yeah, I think, work-life balance, I was about to come on to it in terms of other things to consider when deciding whether you want to work at either a law firm or a service provider, and taking into account Dina's explanation before that, frankly, these aren't all homogenous beasts and one service provider may be very different to another and similarly with law firms. But what does the panel, and Jakub, I'll start with you, have in terms of experience around things like work-life balance, compensation, you know, the ability to work on interesting projects. How do the two environments differ?
I think that, if we take a look on the projects, I mean, they're very similar in a way that, the matter itself, it's very similar, but the way that you are approaching that is very different. At a law firm, you've got a lot of recurring projects, like, from the full EDRM, a lot of small projects that you have to support the lawyers from the very beginning to the very end. And, there are just various of them, I would say. So it differs from the service providers that I worked with, where we had a lot of big projects, but not so many small of them. So this experience is a bit different. For sure, the work-life balance, it's, the law firm is better on that. Service providers, you have your KPIs related to, to a lot of the cases. You need to have a lot of chargeable hours. You have to sell products, etc. And if you really want to grow at the service provider, you have to work a lot, I would say. And it differs probably a bit in terms, comparing to the law firm. The one thing that I would, only looking for, if we compare the law firm to the service provider as well, is to find a place with a good mentor, with someone that you can learn from, especially for the first couple of years, and it will help you grow. And after, this couple of years of your learning curve, you can just decide, where would you like to land at some point. It's not the market is not closed. You can go way around from the law firm to service provider and way back. It's always open. So, but I think that the first years are very important to learn a lot, and it's way easier to learn from the people that already have a lot of experience and can give you the good advices.
Thanks, Jakub. Dina, you mentioned in your introduction experience across the different jurisdictions, as well as at corporates. CV is lengthy and contains many different slots in different places. Aside, what are the things that you've noticed in terms of the different roles that you've had, with respect to work-life balance, etc., that are also important considerations?
I do agree that work-life balance generally is better at law firms, but even at law firms, people get busy, timelines change, deadlines change, you might get something because the client sent your team something on Thursday, it'll get to you on Thursday, it's due on Saturday or due on Monday. So, you'll still work the evenings and weekends in a law firm. I do think, though, I think as Tom mentioned, there is still more flexibility. And I think the expectation is also a little bit different in terms of work-life balance at a law firm compared to a service provider. I think if people are considering, especially the more junior candidates out there who are, in e-discovery, I think it's important to think about and also understand, where you're going to. But I think a big factor is how big is the team, regardless of whether it's a law firm or a service provider, or how large is the team, and what is that person going to learn in each, or what type of learning opportunities will they have? Because if they want to really stay in e-discovery, it's really important to understand how much you can grow within whatever company you end up choosing. Is that a priority for them? Are you going to get access to the different types of experience that would make you a better e-discovery professional? I think for me, that's always been a huge factor, of course, in addition to work-life balance, etc. And, what's important to me has also changed over time. The younger I was, the less important benefits were. And, I didn't mind the crazy hours and I loved the travel. The older I got, the bigger my family grew. The more I wanted, work-life balance, the more stability, better benefits. So, but alongside that, it's always really been important to me, am I learning? Am I growing? The title or the role was never has never been too important to me, but it's more about what am I doing? What experience am I gaining here? What am I getting out of this job? And what can I give to this job, right? Like, do I have the experience that they need for me, or is that, is it not meshing well? So I think that's really important too.
Thanks, Dina. I'm conscious that we're about a minute away from the end. And so I guess the final thing that I was hoping to come to each of you on to wrap up on is what we can do as a profession in order to encourage people to seek experience on both sides of the fence. Because I think the discussion has pretty much articulated that actually there are benefits, not accepting that every organization is the same, but there are benefits both to law firm experience and service provider experience. And Jakub mentioned the importance of mentorship for people entering the profession. And Dina also touched on team selection and making sure that you're working closely with people that can help shape your career. Tom, I mean, to start with you, what can we do as a profession, as an industry, in order to encourage people to seek experience from a number of different areas?
I think it's do what we're doing and actually today and actually talk about our experiences. And also the law firms need to ensure and we need to ensure that there are pathways for people to develop. So innovation and technology, it's a large part of modern day law firms. We're now a revenue driver rather than a cost center. And that should open more doors and allow more opportunities for progression. And I think that's creating those opportunities, I think really help.
Great. Rachel?
Oh, I completely agree with Tom. I think it's important for law firms to demonstrate they're a place where people can build a career. And some law firms have a reputation of if you're not a lawyer, you are not as important. And I think law firms, in order to attract the best people with the right skills, that perception needs to be dispelled. And I also agree, talking about it, doing things like this, being open with people about what we've learned in different companies, whether a law firm or a consultancy, being open about, how did I learn how to do all this stuff? Well, these are the kind of situations that I put myself in, or the kind of experiences that I looked for in order to gain that experience. And certain types of experience might not be unique to a law firm or unique to a consultancy, but I think we need to encourage people to be putting themselves out of their comfort zone to gain these skills. And that could be in a number of organizations, no matter what they, what column they technically fall under.
Jakub?
Yeah, I think the opportunity to grow and on both sides to develop in terms of the knowledge, experience, but also to progress within the organization chart. And we just need to make sure that the people that are entering or are on the entry level, they have their chance.
Dina?
So agree with everybody, definitely having the conversations and being open to especially the junior folks out there coming to us and us having, having these conversations, talking about our experiences and really being honest about what we've experienced in our previous employment. And I do think both law firms and service providers should have real learning and development plans for teams and legal technology or e-discovery in both, and really giving everyone the time to be able to then take advantage of those paths.
Great. Well, look, all it remains is thank you to all of our panel for your contributions. Very much appreciated. Thank you, Rachel, for coming up with the idea in the first place. And thanks, Ilta, for providing us a platform.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.